Well, good day, everyone. It is good to be back with you and hear our eighth session on being found diligent. Let me start by saying I'm sorry we had to skip a session, but there was just no way with the travel we were doing that we would be able to record, get everything put together and distributed. So I appreciate your understanding in allowing us to have a few days away. Let me start by praying here today and we'll jump in. Father, we thank you that you have seen fit that as we serve and worship you, that you reward us with an abundant life. So today we open our hearts to receive what you have for us so that we see how we walk more, how we can walk more in the fullness of all that the salvation of Jesus and our inheritance in him and his inheritance in us purchased for us. So as we open our hearts today, we receive this word implanted and believe that it will produce in our lives. Amen and amen. Last week we talked about the reward of diligence, which was our first session on the rewards that he has and makes available to us. We've been anchored in this entire study in 2 Peter 3:14. So let me read it one more time. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him. How? In peace, without spot or blameless. Now, we can't do all that ourselves. It's only because of what Jesus did. But here, being diligent implies this. It implies steady, earnest, and an energetic effort. It really can implies that we highly value something so that we're willing to pursue it and work with it. And what did we see? We see over and over, it's not a character trait, as many would think. It's really a heart issue for us. We started last week looking at the reward of Ruth. And let me just read two verses around that. Now, remember in Ruth 1, that Ruth is married to one of the sons of Naomi. And both Naomi's two sons and her husband die. And one daughter-in-law just leaves and heads right back to her homeland. Now, to be true, Naomi told them they could leave. She encouraged Ruth in that same manner. But here's what Ruth said in verse 16 of chapter 1. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. And now see this commitment to diligence with her. Your people shall be my people. But most importantly, she says, and your God, my God. And oh, did that produce for her. We see later in the fourth chapter of Ruth from verses 12 through 17, that the Jewish blessing of being a prosperous woman was spoken over her. And then we also saw that Boaz took her as his wife. And what happened? She gave birth to a male named Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. So that, what was Ruth's reward for her diligence to back serving God and Naomi? It was that she took a spot in the lineage of bringing Jesus into this earth. Man, what an honor, all because she was diligent. So as we looked at last week, the first of several that we'll see, we'll look at two more today, elements of this reward. We saw that it was fulfillment and a satisfied life, and you really can't separate that. Proverbs 13:4, New American Standard, reads this way. And really, I'm just going to read some phrases. I'm not going to read entire verses. It says, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. Now, the word for fat there literally means anointed. So it's not a bad thing. It's a really good thing. The Webster translation says, the desire of the diligent shall be fully satisfied. And that encompasses so many areas of life. Our God is a rewarder, but what? We've seen that we have to diligently seek, pursue both him and his ways. So it means we're not just a hearer only, we're going to be doers of what he says. Proverbs 12:27 in the Amplified had this phrase, the diligent man gets precious possessions. Now, I don't want us to think of precious possessions just as things that are around things or finances. It encompasses a lot more than that. But probably the main one that it encompasses is the most precious possession, which is what? Seeing souls brought into the kingdom through our testimony, through the work of Jesus in and through our lives. We see an example of this as it relates a piece of silver in Luke 15 that a woman loses one of 10 that she has. And it says, if she loses one piece, does she not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligently till she finds it? And so we see this then in verse 10 related to souls that we've talked about. So we see it encompasses things like silver, but also, more importantly, souls. Verse 10 says, there's joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So precious possessions, things that we need on this earth for life, but also things pertaining to godliness. And our work there, meaning seeing souls brought into the kingdom. We saw in Isaiah 55, verse 2, and this is from the King James, and it's talking to us, the church. We know that because it's after the redemptive chapter 53. It says, hearken diligently unto me. Eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, or in my anointing, my strength, my power, all of my goodness. And that sounds a lot to me like Psalm 91, the last three verses. And let me just tell you how verse 16 concludes. Many of you can probably quote it. The New American Standard that I use says, with a long life will I satisfy him, and let him behold my salvation. Now, I've encouraged you to personalize that. With a long life will I satisfy Minton, and let Minton behold my salvation. So, a long, satisfied life, thus the title that we have for this first element of his rewards to us, partaking of the fullness of his salvation. And that means both now and in heaven, throughout eternity, we will forever partake of that goodness. John 10:10 describes it this way, that we can have a life, meaning Zoe, which is the God kind of life, and that we can have it more abundantly. So it's not just trying to slip by and make do and get through life just with trouble after trouble. Troubles will come, but this anointing will take us through those troubles so that we can live victoriously and have that abundant life. Now, that also reminds me of Deuteronomy 7:14, and I've shared this with you several times. This is a verse that when things look bad economically after we retired, I would stand at the front window on our home in Johnson City, and I would declare to the neighborhood, we are blessed above all peoples. The blessed people call us blessed. In fact, I was sharing that with a lady during the church luncheon today. And what am I saying there? He wants us to prosper in every way. And we actually sat down, we being BJ and I, and wrote up a covenant. And he was faithful to fulfill that. And all we did was not put out our own desires. We just quoted what his scripture said to us. So today, we're blessed in every way as a reward of our diligence. Now, obviously, it's a reward to Jesus, too, because we are his reward. But today, I want to start in part two of this. And the title that the Lord gave me, and you'll see why in just a moment, is Rewards in the Way of the Diligence. Those rewards as we just live being diligent in our life. And you're going to see this pertaining to honor, and you're going to see it pertaining to favor. So let's start first with honor. Proverbs 22, verse 29, King James reads this way. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. So that is a reward, is that we will have our diligent efforts rewarded, seen, and it will place us in front of people of position of authority. And you'll see how that's important here as we continue on. The Amplified reads this way. Do you see a man diligent and skillful in his business? Diligent and skillful. So it's not just trying hard, it's being successful with it. And we'll build on that. He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Now, this skillful has this connotation of excellence. I don't say perfection, because as we said, perfection can really pervert us some way that we just keep trying to do more and more, and we end up doing it of ourselves. Young Literal says it this way, that a man will be early in his work. Dewey Raines says that we'll be swift in his work. Now, for that, I think about a pianist, someone who practices over and over again, and they do it with excellence. So their practice, you might say, becomes perfect practice. And I heard this phrase back when I was playing ball many years ago in high school, that it's perfect practice that produces the rewards, the results we want when we're playing balls. But what is perfect practice? It's doing it with diligence, doing it the right way, with an effort, doing it, being early at it, being fully committed to it. Now, I want us to be sure we see honor in this respect. We give honor and we receive honor. And one thing that I want to stress, and I think this is the key, is that we be diligent to give honor before we begin to receive honor. Because then you really appreciate it and you'll walk more fully in what it does for you. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13. Paul writing says, "But we request of you, brethren," and listen to this phrase, "that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you." And it also says about them, and that, talking about these people, "and that they have charge over you in the land, and they give you instruction." Now, that says to me, one area of giving honor is what? Is being submissive to the authority that is placed in others over our life. Willing to receive how they instruct us to walk in diligence, as we might say. Verse 13 says that we should esteem them very highly in love. Let me read that once again. Very highly in love because of their work. And it concludes by saying, live in peace with one another. So you're not envying them, you're not always criticizing. There's peace between those and you who you are giving honor to when they're in a position over you. So what do we take away from this? We are to honor those who diligently labor among us. Now, the Amplified, let me just tell you what it says. It adds this phrase, that we recognize them for what they are, we acknowledge and appreciate and respect them all. And then in verse 13, it adds this, and that we hold them in very high and most affectionate esteem. So affectionate has that connotation of love, but it also has a connotation of great appreciation. Now, I am not talking about people who we see up front at church all the time. I'm talking about all who are serving, that we have an eye to see and recognize all who serve the Lord, and that we honor them. And as we do, we'll see that the Lord honors us. The Complete Jewish Bible says simply, treat them with the highest regard and love. So what do we see here? Love is a key aspect of honoring people. We don't just treat them right so we can get things. We truly love them, not just because who they are in their flesh, but because of the role that God has placed them in and what they're accomplishing for Him through their lives for us in instruction and in other kind of ways. Now, let's look at a few related verses about being honored to work on what I would call the higher things for the King of Kings, for our Jesus. And we'll start back with an example in the book of Exodus. And this is in chapter 36, and it's dealing with the building of the tabernacle. But I want you to just listen to the words that Moses writes here, because this diligence you're going to see is going to bring promotion. It is going to take people, and their diligence in their work will place them to use the giftings that God has given them for Him. Now think about that, using the gifts that God has given us, not so we can get rewards, but for Him, just because we love Him so much. So it starts out in verse 1. Now these two guys, and I can't pronounce their names, and every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill, in other words, wisdom, skill to use, and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary. They were building the tabernacle that would, where the Spirit of God, He would tabernacle amongst His people. Which shall perform, they shall perform in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. Verse 2, then Moses calls these guys and he says, every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill. Now, notice that phrase. We're using the skills, the talents the Lord has placed in us for Him. Everyone whose heart has stirred Him. So these people not only have skill, but they have what? A right heart about this. And their heart is to come to the work to perform it for the Lord. And they received from Moses all the contributions which the son of Israel had brought. So some people weren't able to do the work, but they showed what? They showed honor to the Lord and to the king by giving things that could be used in this construction. So they received from Moses all the contributions which the son of Israel had brought. And listen why they brought it. To perform the work in the construction of the sanctuary. And they still continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Verse 4. And all the skillful men who were performing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work which he was performing. And they said to Moses, the people are bringing much more than enough for the construction work which the Lord has commanded us to perform. So Moses issued a command, and a proclamation was circulated throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman any longer perform work. And listen to what it's saying. To perform work for the contributions of the sanctuary. In other words, their diligent effort had produced more than they needed. And it closes by saying, thus the people were restrained from bringing more. So what do we see? Just as I said, diligence on both the people who were doing the work, diligence on the part of the people who were giving the material so that the work could be done, both were being placed in a position in their diligence to use what they had for God. Thus, they will receive a reward. Think back to Deuteronomy 28, and let's read verse 1. Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments, which I command you this day, which Jesus did for us, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Can I just say to you that it's because of what Jesus did in being diligent to perform His Father's work that for you and I, the New Testament implication of this is we've been set high above the nations of the earth. We've been honored by God, and this is a key component, before men. So God honors us, and He honors us in front of man. And this is why I named the teaching for this next verse, what I did today, the rewards in the way of the diligent. Listen to verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you will obey, in other words, listen to the voice of the Lord and act on it, your God. So when we do these two things, we're going to be rewarded. How? With great honor. We're going to be elevated amongst all people. Now, that's not saying they're going to elevate a person in his body above another one. This is saying we're going to be elevated as a church body who ought to be in unity, in walking in love to each other, and that should be seen by the earth and all the peoples of the earth who are not part of it, and that ought to draw them to the church. Colossians, Paul writes in chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for men. And then 24 says, knowing, having faith, having confidence, that from the Lord you will receive the reward. And what is that reward? It goes on to say the reward of the inheritance. So we receive as part of our reward the inheritance that Jesus got, which is us. But the reward that Jesus gets, He passes down to us. And then it goes on and really says that it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. So Jesus is the reward that we get. And in honoring Jesus, in being diligent with Him, we receive that reward and walk fully in it. Now, what this also says to me, if man doesn't recognize and honor you as you think he ought to, we need to be certain that when we walk in the ways of God, regardless what men do to us, God will what? He will honor us. Be certain that your Jesus sees you walking diligently in the things He's instructing. Now let's go from honor to talk a little bit about favor. And we'll go back to Proverbs 11, the 27th verse. The New American Standard reads this way, "He who diligently seeks good seeks favor." So if we diligently seek good, then it's the same thing as seeking favor. But he who searches after evil, it will come to him. And I'm going to tell you the same is true about the first part of that. If we seek good, then favor will come to us. So notice the sequence here now. Seeking good, not just seeking men or God even, showing you favor. The Amplified says this, "He who diligently seeks good seeks God's favor." And can I just say, God's favor is so much more important, and you're going to see an example of that in a moment with Joseph, than any man and how he would show you favor of himself. So remember how we closed honor? Don't seek man's favor, but seek what? God's favor. Then, after we seek God's favor, then with his favor, other men will be moved upon by him, and you'll receive favor from them. And you know, really, a key aspect of this, we talked about love and honor a while ago. That's why we ought to love others as Jesus loves us, because that's diligently walking in his love. Three other translations. And see the promise now in these. It's a little different language. Complete Jewish says, "He who strives for good obtains favor." So we're not seeking favor. We're seeking his instruction, doing it his way, and that will produce favor. Dewey Rains, "Well doth he rise early who seeketh good things." Now that doesn't read real well, but what's it saying? When we are prompt to do it, when we are quick to do it, do what? Seek the good things, that well comes to us. The grace of God and the favor of God comes to us. The literal translation says this, "He who is early." Now, I want to stress that word early, because you remember as we talked about diligent, we talked about how that means do what he tells you to do now. Don't let the devil talk you out of it and say, well, you don't understand this and don't understand that. Do what he tells you and the rest will flow. He who is early is seeking good, seeks favor. So we see all these things. It's not seeking the favor, but it's seeking God, his ways of doing things, and favor comes. Now let's look at some examples and we'll close out the teaching with four or five examples here. Abraham, in Genesis 18, remember when I believe Jesus and two angels passed by and he entreats them, he shows them honor. And in Genesis 18:3, it says, and this is Abraham talking, "My Lord, if now I have favor in your sight, please do not pass by your servant." So he wasn't seeking things. He was seeking time in the presence of the Lord. Did he have favor in his life? Did he have the grace of God come to him? Yes. And even in this one account here, Jesus spent time with him. And this is later on, was so important because this is where he spoke not only to Abraham, but to Sarah, about what would happen with the son coming forth. So he's shown honor and he receives favor from the Lord by the things he promised he would do for him. Now in Genesis 12:4, the Lord tells him to get up and go. He doesn't do it as promptly as he should, But it says, so Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. In other words, even though it was delayed, he was obedient. And the Lord just poured blessings at him. He said, people are going to bless you. In verse 3, it continues on. Some other examples of being diligent to do what the Lord had said. One area was dealing with strife. In Genesis 13, Lot didn't have good wisdom. He wanted all this wealth for himself. He wanted the best land for himself. So to keep strife away, because the servants of Lot and Abraham were having difficulty, then here's what Abram said at this time. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock. This is Genesis 13, 7 through 9. There was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham of Abram's livestock and the herdmen of Lot's livestock. And it says the Canaanite and the Perizzite were dwelling in that land. And so Abram says to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen or your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is it not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you go to the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. So what was he doing? He was showing honor and giving favor to Lot to choose the land that he wanted. But he did this because he knew if he were diligent to keep strife out, which he had learned was the way of the Lord, that the Lord would reward him and bless him no matter what land Lot chose. Lot chose the best, but Abraham knew that it was the blessing of the Lord on him. It was the favor of God upon him that was causing that blessing to manifest. How about in Genesis 15, where the Lord told him to go prepare the covenant, the cutting of the covenant? And do you remember that he brought all the animals and he cut them in two in verse 10? And he laid each half opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds. And what happened? The birds of prey came to try to steal it. But because he valued what the Lord was doing, he was diligent to value. He was diligent to do exactly what he told him to do with this. He protected it. And what happened? He became the recipient of the Abrahamic covenant, which is a foretaste of what we have in our new covenant today. It was a covenant not based on law, but based on what? The fact that Abraham believed and it was counted as to righteousness because of his believing. The last one that just hits me so hard is in Genesis 22, verse 3. When he's told to go sacrifice his son, Isaac, at the place where I'll show you. And see the elements of his diligence in this verse, and then you'll see the favor that God showed him as he was diligent to do it. So he's been told what to do on an evening. And so Abram rose early in the morning, saddled his donkeys, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place where God had told him. Here he is going to have to do something that you know he didn't want to do. And yet he's what? Diligent to pursue it exactly in the way that the Lord showed him. What diligence and what great favor the Lord poured out on him. But I want to talk as we conclude about Joseph. Joseph is a man who had a dream and he stayed true to that dream, that the Lord was going to bless him. He stayed true to the Lord's word, we might say. And yet we see that men blessed him, that men showed him favor. Potiphar, a jailer, and the Pharaoh himself. Chapter 39, verse 4. And let me just say, this is God showing him favor, but then that favor manifests through men in this earth. And that's why I say we seek God's favor, the rest of it will take care of itself versus us trying to please men alone. Verse 4 says, "So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. So here's a man showing Joseph great, great favor. And he made him his personal servant, and he made him overseer over his house and over all that he owned. He put Joseph in charge." Now, you know the rest of the story. Joseph, Potiphar's wife, made a move on Joseph. He ended up in jail. But what? The same thing happened. And listen to 21 talking about the jailer. "But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness or favor to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer." Now, that kindness is the Hebrew word hesed, that covenant love, that he gave him favor with men. And then finally, he was asked to interpret dreams that Pharaoh had, and he did it. And here's what Pharaoh said. And I see both here, honor and favor. Pharaoh says to Joseph in verse 39 of chapter 41, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this," so he was seeking God first, "there is no one as discerning and wise as you." Wasn't his wisdom, but it was God's wisdom operating in him. Then listen to these three verses. Verse 40, "You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word." Man, what honor, what favor, what power he gave him. "Only in regard to the throne will I be greater." Verse 41, "And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." And verse 42 concludes by saying, "Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck." Honored him before all the Egyptian people, and placed him in a position only below Pharaoh himself. All because of what? He was diligent to stick to the word, to stick to the vision that the Lord had given him. He did not lose it, no matter what the circumstance looked like. And let me conclude with this. This is God's desire for you and I. Psalm 5:12. This is a verse that I printed out, and I placed it on the door that went as we would exit our house through the laundry room to our garage. This is what I looked at every day I left that house. And it's Psalm 5:12, which says, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield." Now, a shield can imply protection, but it's also translated a target. So why do I say this? Because what I want you to see is that with favor, you will surround him as a shield. That can mean target. You are a target for his favor. Amplified. "You, O Lord, will bless the uncompromisingly righteous." That's you and I because of what Jesus did that we saw in Deuteronomy 28. Because he was obedient unto the cross, unto death, and resurrected. "Him who is upright and right standing with you," which we are. And it concludes by saying this, "As with a shield, you will surround him with your goodwill, your pleasure, your favor." Saints, when we are diligent, he's ready to do what? He's ready to reward us with both honor and with favor. Now, we're going to finish this study up next week, and we're going to look at a couple of more efforts. And so let me conclude today by telling you, don't miss the last part of it, because I believe this is as good as it gets as we conclude this study. Thank you for being with us, and we look forward to spending time with you next week.